shutter. The bullies on Triple M.
Tools down.
You've all had a big busy week.
Radio on.
Look how happy they are.
Triple M footy roars into the weekend.
Oh, it's red hot.
Game on.
Don't take risks while driving. Chances are you'll be caught. A message from the TAC.
This is the Friday Huddle. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
We'll start the last quarter. It's a point lead to the Pies. From 48, Josh Dacos. Does he bring it back enough? More worthy! Kyle Langford. Hands in the air. Bombers get one back. They're not done with yet.
Further on again, Martin. Steps. Martin. Listen to the S in the crowd!
Top of the square. Langford's got it again. Langford for four. And a two-goal lead to the Bombers. Majacek. Handballed off. Kick it goal by Harvey Harrison. It allowed McCreary some space, and he makes it pay. The Pies are back in front by a point. The Bombers go inside forward 50. Langford's got it. Is he the hero to the punt road in to put the Bombers back in front? It goes wide and he's missed and scores a level.
Drawn Anzac Day. The 29th edition. The first was a draw. It is a draw at the MCG.
Unbelievable scenes. Nate's just cut his own highlights package to start the Friday Huddle. Yesterday was the MCG.
Sharp.
And today we are on the road. The full team are assembled. Some more reliable than others as we get to the Adelaide Oval. It's the Saints 2-4 take on Port Adelaide at home 4-2. The Rosie and Butters show continues along at the magnificent Adelaide Oval tonight. We're set. We're ready to go. And I look at the captain who, he's here. And that's a start. His name is Luke Darcy. Hello, Guru.
I'm more than here, Howie. I'm pumped to be. I love Adelaide Oval. I love coming over here. It's beautiful. One of the most picturesque grounds in the world, this one. And so set for a ripper. Fascinated by St Kilda and what they might do to come back. And Nath's call, outstanding, Nate. It was
Thank
magnificent.
You,
well done to you. Good to hear it.
Hello to you, Nathan. Sounded magnificent yesterday, and now you've made the trip across here.
It was great to be there yesterday. It's an honour to call that game. It was a beautiful game, and both sides did a great job. There were so many highlights. Congratulations on your call of that mark. It was a fantastic mark, and I've got to spend the afternoon with the Chief, which has been enlightening.
Well, the Chief is here. He looks good. He's got some sort of Nike Airs on, a jean, an orange top, and he's got his, looks like a Kansas City's Chief hat on to celebrate the NFL draft, which he would have been watching from Detroit. He looks happy and smiley and cheerful as ever. Jason, you know you're my hero and it's a thrill to be in the box with you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Mark. It's nice to have a team skipper that basically pays no attention to boarding calls and works to his own schedule and expects the planes to work around him. But that's okay.
We are thrilled
that he's here.
That's the most important thing.
An off-air story that was shared.
you know better than that. After 7 years, you know there's no such thing.
We have a flight story we need to chat about.
Really?
And Damien Barrett is here. He looks fantastic. He parked the muscle car at Melbourne Airport. He's made the trip across to Adelaide and he's in fine form. Hello to you.
Hello to you too, Howard. And I know where Chief is going to take that airline story, and the beauty of it is that I know what it's about, and it's not about me. Your Chief, I and Brownie came across on the same flight. We were about three rows apart from each other, and I think I know where Chief's going to take it, and I'm going to enjoy this.
There's more important things to talk about to start with, and as you know, Howie, I'm pretty easygoing. Go lucky, happy at all times. Has really disappointed me. It's almost to the point of anger.
Happy go lucky.
Happy go lucky. It's almost to the point of anger.
What's wrong?
So we had someone go rogue a few weeks ago, and we know that was our captain Luke Darcy.
We won't go back on that, but I feel like 1997, I said something as well.
We're just giving a context.
He may not have learned his lesson. And the great thing about our group, and we are brutal to each other, brutal honesty.
Only because you're a cool Nate.
But we normally do it within the confines of our own box when we're looking at each other and we're looking at each other in the eye. And we're a team, and we can take that feedback on board.
He hasn't gone again, has he?
Has he gone again?
Extraordinary. Are you serious?
And look, you know I'm big on loyalty, except when I left the dog. So this is
I'm big on loyalty, apart from being the most disloyal person you've ever met.
But I tell you what, we always keep it in the confines, and when we go outside, we can't protect you.
What are you talking about?
And when
about,
you go
mate?
Outside, we all keep it in here.
What are you talking about?
And then
about,
you've gone
mate?
With
you've
this.
It's a 4 minute lead in.
No, it's a good lead in.
It'd want to be
the
good,
other
mate.
Night.
It's a good lead in, Brownie. Keep
I'll
going.
Let you listen and make your own mind up.
And I think we've caught on to the total lack of humility that exists with Isaac Smith. And I work with an incredibly arrogant man on a Friday called Mark Howard.
Well, I thought you were going to say Nathan Brown.
Well, I work with a couple of incredibly arrogant people on a Friday. But the difference between them and Isaac is that Isaac's actually done something. How he's done nothing. How he's achieved nothing in his life and he's got a level of arrogance that amuses all of us. At least Isaac has got four premierships to stack up.
It hurt me that you went outside the box.
I actually forgot I said that.
When was this? This was broadcast, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
This went national radio.
And I stand by those comments.
That's quite hurtful, Luke. I thought we've got a long-standing friendship.
Nothing I haven't said to you in this box on a Friday night.
But you've got to keep it within us. Don't go out with your other little patsies and get an easy laugh like you did the other night. That's childish.
I was asked to review Isaac Smith's performance.
But how did you drag Howie into it?
You just railroaded Howie. Nobody's going better than Howie at the moment. He's on the 6x6, which has turned into the 6x1.2, and he is calling footy. He's calling cricket.
He's doing the IPL.
Trying to find for someone who's got a lack of humility, and it came to mind. I didn't. Nothing's pre-planned these days.
Where'd it come from, Duke?
Howie's lack of humility. That's what I'm trying to work out.
You're much like what happened a couple of weeks ago. Where is it coming from? It's just like someone's hitting a trigger and then bang, he's off.
They're just coming from some thought bubbles.
What are you saying?
No, it's premeditated. I need to premeditate. No, I'm not angry at all.
I know someone who runs a health retreat in Bali called Sukabagi. I reckon I need to hook you up with that person. I reckon you just need a couple of days off. A couple of massages, a couple of swims, a couple of spas, a couple of heat treatments.
That's the best advice I've ever had.
I've got your back to us, but I'm worried about you like Brownie is.
But he's done nothing in his life. He's on top of the game.
I've never seen a bloke more flying.
This century's Richie Benno.
He was higher than Jamie Elliott yesterday.
He's getting hired to do everything. He's earning US dollars, and you're taking him down. Big idiot.
I've known how he's...
And do it in front of his face, Darce.
I do it in front of his face.
You big idiot. You don't, actually.
He was 18, and I've known him for a long period of time. I'm talking about on-field exploits. So he's going down that path,
Howie. Well, the journo versus the footballer. We've copped that all our lives, and now you're going to drag that
Isaac
one up again.
Smith, who is loves talking about himself. Yeah.
Hey, Darce, you dug a hole last 2 weeks ago. You're going to dig a hole again.
I'm not stop.
So, Luke, what you're saying is because I haven't played AFL football or played international cricket, I can't commentate on it. That hurts. No, that actually does hurt.
I think you're brilliant at it.
Apparently not.
No, I didn't. Talking about... Brilliant at it. Just
you haven't achieved anything in life, Howie.
At some stage, you have to release your grip on the shovel. You've got to drop it to the floor and kick it the hell away from yourself, my friend, because you are digging your way to China.
I'm comfortable with that. I'm comfortable.
I feel I'm quite modest, Nathan, to be honest.
Hang on. Actually, hang on.
That's another rabbit hole.
Don't play the victim, Howie.
I'm the most modest person that's ever been. I rest my case on that alone. But anyway, Howie, all done in the right tone.
That's extraordinary. What happened yesterday? I heard that Channel 7 went into a full meltdown because at one stage Joel Selwood was about to call the football ball by ball, which he would have done a fantastic job of, by the way.
Correct. No, I think Damo makes a good point. I need to get some organisation in my work, Howie. Sitting in the lounge waiting for the flight, bumped into Alistair Nicholson. He's a ripper, and we're having a chat. And I said, I probably should wander down to the gate about now. And as we got 10 metres from the gate, a bloke sort of said, you might want to get a hurry on, young fella. Your name's just been called out. And I thought, that's unusual. I didn't hear the flight called out. And Hostie got to the gate, and she said, you're not coming on that plane. Door's closed.
They're called flight attendants now, Jude.
Flight attendant, Chief. And she was, and fair enough. And I said, I don't think the plane was called out. And she said, your responsibility is to get here on time.
Did you stay calm?
Absolutely, Howie. Absolutely. Full responsibility.
And Wednesday night on Triple M? You were aware you were calling the game then?
100%, Howie. I was there with
Nathan, what happened then?
Earlier in the day, were you aware that you were calling the game?
I was prepared. I was there with that sort of sharp stuff that came out on a Wednesday night. No, life's in total order at the moment.
Darce, I've got another idea.
More yoga. You and Beck need to do more yoga. More
definitely need to do more yoga. That could be an issue too, actually. Not getting as much yoga as you are, I can promise you.
No, that was what I was going to go down the same path of. Darce, but Brownie beat me to it.
Glad you guys had a good flight over.
Do you need a PA, Duke? Maybe a PA could sort you out. Yeah.
How was your flight, Chiefy?
Well, it was very good. I got on early.
Boys are up
today. I'm sitting in seat 7A.
Yes.
I see Damo get on.
Yep.
He sits in 4C, I think it was.
Yep, correct.
Nathan sits behind him in 5C. Now, we've gotten on early in the priority lane, which is great. I sit down, bag's up top. Damo puts his bag up top, sits down. Nathan turns to look at his chair, puts his bum in the face of the bloke sitting directly opposite in 5D, and starts to play with his travel bag. Yeah, he's pulling some things out of it. He's putting some things into it. Meanwhile, a queue builds up, waiting to get through. Nathan doesn't care. He continues to fidget and to fumble and to faff about, and people are looking at him. There is a queue. There is nothing happening down the back of the plane. It's empty because no one can get through. And Nathan finally says, I think I'm okay. I lift my suitcase up, which is the size of a full-blown suitcase, mind you, tries to jam it into the overhead compartment, and then you hear this crash. A big, heavy...
It's an old school.
...laptop falls out...
Oh, no.
...crashes on the ground. In doing so, misses Warrior's head by centimetres.
I felt the air as it missed me by...
The whole plane shakes when this thing hits the floor. So he goes, oh. Bends down to pick it up.
Didn't say sorry.
Meanwhile, the queue's looking at him, going, any frickin' danger. He picks it up. I'll stuff that back in my bag up there. It should be okay. He looks around. Maybe I should sit down. He finally sits down. And it's like the gun went off in the men's 100 metres with the line behind him trying to get to their seats to pack their bags in. My God, Nate, you are exciting to watch
with
your reaction.
This is why we don't travel often.
Oh, no.
We don't travel well as a group.
He has no idea. No concept of what's happening around him.
Spatial awareness, Nate. No sense of the other passengers.
I didn't realise there was a lineup behind me. I needed to find my ear pods because I knew that the entertainment would be good, and then the laptop would have been good.
Have you checked your laptop?
No, I haven't checked.
That will be broken.
Can't be in one place.
This is the thing that infuriates me about travel. It's like it's the first time you've been on a plane, Nate. You understand there are people behind you. Yeah. Or you're in the security screening and someone, a beep goes off and they take their watch off and they get, and then they take their belt off the second, and then they pull their phone out of their pocket. It's like, are you capable of just doing that in one?
But at least those people catch their flight, they does.
On the right time.
Luke, I think it's a good time to talk about what else infuriates you. I just feel there's too many things infuriating you. While we're all in the room.
I know how thin-skinned you are, Harry, so I apologise for that.
You apologise? That's something I've never heard you say in 22 years of knowing you. Did you get a tape over that, Leroy? If you're not bubbling one up back there, just apologised.
Because I feel like I've upset Howie, and that was never my intention. No, I'm happy, Howie.
What was your intention?
What part did you think was going to upset him? The part where he said he's done nothing in his life?
I was asked to make a comment about Isaac. I was looking for a reference point.
You're starting a lot of sentences with the sentence, I don't mean to be critical, but there's too much of that going on in your world.
And feedback's a gift, Howie. I take that on board.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Damo, Nath used the word privilege for the fact that some of us were at the football yesterday. It was an extraordinary day, and then in so many other reasons, an extraordinary night. So let's talk about a bit of footy.
Yeah, and just on that point, you and Brownie called that match beautifully yesterday, Howie. You nailed the Jamie Elliott moment as well. So, the results, though, obviously a draw out of that game. I might want to start, though, with the night game that you covered, Dars, and GWS's ability to cover for the unavailability of Toby Green, Sam Taylor, their two best players, I would imagine, and also Stephen Canelio, and not miss a beat and probably take the conversation at some stage soon down the path of where Brisbane is at, given they've now only got the two wins to this point of a season in which they're coming off a four-point loss in a grand final.
Being in Canberra last night, Damo, they are so sharp, GWS, and we're just talking in the ad break about the debutant Darcy Jones who comes in and just looks like he's going to add some real excitement to that team. And it's some of the new players, like Peatling's been a sub for the last 4 weeks. I thought he came on and played a really good role. It's a deep list with lots of talent. They've got a good style of football. And They dismantled Brisbane, who've got a few issues.
In a weird way, the footy works. With the those guys being out, it's forced others around them to assume greater responsibilities on game day, hasn't it? And obviously, Callaghan was a beneficiary of the Cornelio absence. I know he's had a disrupted off-season to a point, but just the way they've covered for Toby Green up forward, obviously Jesse Hogan may be fortunate to play given what happened during the week on the tribunal situation, but his elevation into the elite has been quite extreme.
Chief, I reckon you become a good side when you have players that were on your list that were maybe, are they going to make it, and then they become really solid players. Like Jack Buckley now, 50 games.
Yep.
Maybe was in doubt at some stage. He's now a really good defender. Briggs, their ruckman, was sitting there for 3 or 4 years. I think they were concerned about whether or not he is a monster, Briggs, and becoming one of the better ruckmen in the game. So the natural growth on their list has helped with the superstar talent they've got as well, I think.
I think sometimes we're harsh to dismiss players after one or two opportunities. Some of them need repeated opportunities to show their best, feel confidence that the people trust them. And I think they're a genuine team and a really big threat this year. But I think the flip side of it is I'm off Brisbane now. I gave them one last chance last night. I thought they get the Giants at a good time, missing some key players. But the same players are making the same mistakes. They've got some big issues and they need to... I think they need to change some personnel.
Have you put a line through them, Chief, on a premiership perspective?
100%.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which players are making which mistakes, Chief?
Look, I don't want to single out players.
If I threw names to you, Chief...
No, I'm not going to go down
if that
If
I threw
path.
The name...
All you're going to say is Joe. I'm talking senior players making the same mistakes all the time. You just can't live with it. And they're not changing. So you've got to make changes around them.
Who do you think he's referring to, Brownie? Joe Danaher?
Don't go there.
Andrew Dunkley?
Don't go
Josh
there.
Dunkley, maybe?
Andrew Dunkley, I played on him.
Yes,
if he's still going,
that's why I corrected it to
nature.
Josh Dunkley.
he gets pretty upset, Andrew Dunkley, too, Damo. Stay away from him.
As Wayne Carey found out in that grand final.
So,
and then the draw too, Howie. I'm not a massive one to feel the need for the debate about whether we have a draw or not. They're going to leave the draw in the home and away season. They're not ones to change it. We know that there was one stage, three different outcomes for drawn games, grand final, final and home and away. There's now two. There's the finals playoff and the home and away. They're not going to change it. We can debate it as much as we like, but it's here to stay. And I'd prefer a result. I think it's 2024 and we are a result-driven world at the moment, but we don't get a result out of yesterday. It'll even itself out as the year unfolds, and those 2 points they both got will affect the ladder.
We might save that one for Hot Topics and have a chat about that later on. Essendon, on the flip side of the equation, just starting to find some real good form noodles.
Absolutely. So I think all the eyes of the world were on Essendon more than Collingwood. So we know what we're going to get from Collingwood. They run and carry. They're very good. Their pressure's been number one in the last 3 weeks. But we still don't know about Essendon. We don't know about their players. We don't know about Harrison Jones. We don't know how good Sam Durham is. We don't know whether String can be the player we want to be. But yesterday, I felt like that they arrived and all the eyes were on them and they couldn't have done any more. They led that game for 95% of it, and at some times it looked like Collingwood was going to take it over, but they were hard around the edges. Led by Zach Merritt, I think, has changed his game completely, and I couldn't be more impressed with what Essendon served up yesterday.
Become an elite player, Zach Merritt. I hadn't given him probably due credit, but the more I see him, the more I think one of the genuine elite midfielders in the top half of us in the competition. Why, and I also like the game of Jake Stringer yesterday, why has he become more consistent at Essendon than he was at the Bullies?
I don't think he's become more consistent. I think when you look at Jake Stringer and you can see he's fit by his body composition, that's when he plays his best football.
And Chief, this is maybe the sceptical outlook, but often there is something in this. He's out of contract and he wouldn't be the first player. And I don't actually mean that to be condescending to him. I mean, he's playing extraordinarily good football right now and he's played a lot of that game yesterday in the middle of the ground in a way that he hadn't in recent seasons. He is out of contract.
So who wins that battle, his management or the Essendon Football Club?
I think it's a massive risk now if Essendon, if he maintains anything like what he
Essendon
played yesterday.
Essendon on record is saying he's only going to have 1 year contracts though, yes?
I don't know about them being on record. I think that's what they've said to him. But, I mean, some players, I mean, Brent Harvey played on a 1 year contract for 6 or 7 years. It can work. And maybe that is the way to keep him at this late stage of his career.
Good point you make, Domo. I think some players, that is what they need. They need to be on the edge playing for their life to have that motivation to be at their peak fitness. And we saw Tony Liberatore's last 9 years were 1 year contracts. That's how long he, and Tom's doing the same, 1 year at a time. And so, yeah, I think he's probably in that bracket, Jay Stringer. When he's on the edge, he is a
devastating
player.
There'd be clubs after him if he chose not to go down the one-year contract path?
Yeah, well,
it'd be a risk.
If he plays the type of football he's played to this point of this year, and if you just use the Anzac Day example, Brandy, yep, absolutely there will be.
He'll get a couple of years elsewhere.
Yeah.
Easy.
But again, I think he wants to repay Essendon because it has looked after him. Equally, his high moments. I mean, there's not too many wins that Essendon get, Howie, that come without an impact in some form from Stringer. So they know his value. I love what Brad Scott's doing to him. He's put the pressure on him privately. He's made enough noises publicly without ever shaming him about getting better and what he wants him to be. And it's starting to work.
You blokes feel, in the media sense, you're better when you're just about out of contract, Dars? Or do you think it affects you negatively?
No, I think I'm a one-year contract person. Right. I think I might even be on a rolling week by week.
The AFL roster comes out a week in advance.
I'd be open to speaking to management about that.
I've heard you're out of contract, have
we? I am out of contract.
No, how's it going? How's the negotiations going?
You want people to know this? No. I find too.
No. Who with? Triple M and Fox?
Look us in the eye, Howie. How's the contract negotions going?
So who is it with? Triple,
you know, Jackie Epstein
Fox
will be listening to this. So whatever you're about to say, where do you want to be next year?
Is both organisations?
I don't think it's commercial situations like this are worth talking about.
No, you're all going to be happy to talk about it
previously. You're going to disagree with me. No,
six by six.
I think it's best we leave that.
Nate's got the Forbes list on the open market. If Howie was...
he's never achieved anything in his life.
That starts with a one in front of it, Duke.
I'm certainly not going getting Dars to go on it back for me at the first meeting. That's my first point.
Bit of inside info. They're not as keen as you'd think.
Thanks, Chief. Thanks, Chief. Nathan, I'm remiss to do this because this is not my idea. Nate sent me a beautiful text this morning saying that we enjoyed calling with each other yesterday and it was a nice change. It was a very positive message.
This is the sort of person Nate is now.
He is, and that's the type of person I am. But our producer wants me to throw some audio of Nate yesterday. I don't want to do it because I thought he was outstanding.
Would you like me to throw to it?
Just throw to Nate in the pregame yesterday.
Nate, who may get it himself as well at some stage yesterday on Anzac Day. Have a listen to this.
It's a point lead to the Bombers, 7-6, 48 to the Pies, 6-11, 47 for McDonald's and Dream Hot Water, Triple M, Rocks Footy.
I butchered McDonald's. Sometimes I try to get the reads out a little bit.
It's a tough word, isn't it?
And that was hard. McDonald's
is a tough word. Yeah. We're not all familiar with it.
No. Now, I also don't want to play what happened last year because me and him are in a very good space at the moment, so I think you should throw it at that as well.
What's happened last year?
Yes.
Yeah, have a listen to this.
So everybody helped us out, put this together. Out to you to the end of the night. I'm going to finish off with
Triple M Rocks Footy.
That was best ever. That's best ever.
Yeah. I played that one up a bit.
Please, you did.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M Rocks Footy.
Time to go down for the first time to the boundary to the best built strongest boundary rider in football, this man. He cuts a physical presence. His name is Rhett Bigland. He's down there, I think, with the St Kilda coach. Come in, Biggles.
Good evening to you, Howie, and to everyone. I reckon Robbo might have a few words to say about that. But thanks for your time, Ross. Talk us about the discussions around the selection table. One force change and one that you had to discuss with the other boys.
Yeah, you are a big bugger, aren't you? Anything, you can ask anything. So Butler did a hammy, which we're really unfortunate, but that's life. And then... Zach Jones, who we put back to the VFL to find some form, really. We didn't set him up to succeed. We brought him off long rehab and brought him straight in after one. So it's very difficult for him, but it's a situation we're in. And but look, we bring Howard in, and we're pretty excited to have him back as well.
Rossi, we spoke to you pre-game on Fox last week, and you were very nervous heading into that game, and as it panned out, rightfully so. Some honest conversations with the players this week. That was an uncharacteristic performance.
Yeah, it was uncharacteristic, although we had three statistically worse last year, the Hawthorn, Gold Coast and Brisbane game. So, look, it has happened to us, but we have been consistent with our effort and our competitiveness. So, yeah, no, there's no hard words. We just sat in the education space. And standing here tonight, I feel better than I probably... The last couple of weeks, I've just been uncertain as to what we're working on. You know, were we addressing the right issues? We hadn't been able to train it, but with the coaching panel, we drilled in sort of... and you know how they're interrelated with use and defence. And we feel like we've found some pieces that are fundamental that we've just drifted away on, that you're allowed to slip when you get defined by the scoreboard, when you think, 1 point, 4 point, but... as you drilled in, you know, you're five goals behind and a couple of them. So we feel like we've got to the nub of some of our mechanics. And we feel, you know, focus on intensity tonight, which you need anywhere, let alone interstate playing the power, is going to be important for us.
Ross, when you work with us in the back row, when we watch St Kilda games, you're always bemused the fact that they didn't play Bradley Hill in the best position. You're true to your word. He's playing in his best position at the moment. And I have to say, he's almost in career best form the way he's running and using the football at the moment.
Yeah, I think we know you're spot on there. He's really happy. He's taking his preparation to another level. He was always very talented, played in, you know, a legendary team and, you know, ate well off that, really. But he's realised that as he's got older, that there's more to give in your prep and to play. You know, get your body in great shape, and he's sort of done that. It's compounded to he's playing, yeah, I'd agree, career best form. We like him as a high half forward and releasing. We put him on the wing a little bit, but his best position has been like a transition high forward up and down the ground. And with a focus, he did it last year, but this year's focus has been getting more forward rather than back half ball, and he's having lots of shots on goal.
Hey, Ross, we're all excited about a fit Max King and hopefully playing a full season. He's had a little bit of a setback. Can you give us an update? What sort of news on Max? When are we likely to see him again?
Yeah, well, we thought it was a chance this week. I don't dive into the space. I give him plenty of room because you don't want to be criticised for pressuring anyone. So, look, it was a contusion. It was a knock. But there's been... he went and saw the surgeon and there's nothing dramatic. The scan's pretty clear with maybe a bit of bruising. So... we're really optimistic for next week. He trained both our sessions, but he just didn't get his agility markers and all that. So, look, they come in and said no, and I said, no worries, move on. So, otherwise you get stuck on it. So, look, we're a better team with him in, but we've won lots of games without him.
Ross, what do you fear most about the opposition? Or maybe fear is the wrong word. What concerns you the most about Port Adelaide?
Yeah, no, you're spot on. Their signatures are really strong. We feel like we know them. Their clearance work, obviously the three amigos in there are handy. You know, Rosie Butters and Horn Francis, their power and speed from the stoppage. So they set the ground long, they play six ahead, give those guys plenty of room to move. And centre forward, they're attacking mid-stoppages, they off an entry, they score at 50% when the comp average is one. So we're going to have to contain their midfield work. And their number one front half team for time in your front half. So they're a high-press, aggressive, flat defence that gets it in there and locks it in. So we saw that against Collingwood. Like, they had nine possession gains centre forward in the first 20 minutes. And then in the end, Collingwood broke that down. But because... So the opportunities, guys, because they're so one-on-one, you can set the field and create space where you want it. But against surge football, and Collingwood showed us a bit of a template, under pressure, you surge forward, you go under equal numbers and it becomes... You know, post-clearance ground ball, they're 18th in the league because they're so aggressive on their flat defence. If you can man up in the contest and you can surge the ball and turn them around and release hard, you've got real opportunities against them. So we see the threat with the press, but there's also opportunity going back the other way. And the hard one-on-one, we feel like we can set the field and create some run from our backs.
Ross, you're always open with the media. You invite all the questions. You say, ask whatever you want, and you'll give a considered answer. When you reflect on last week leading into the game, how open you were about your observations of maybe being a bit fatigued for the third match inside the 11 days of footy. Yeah. Did it possibly put the thought into your players' heads?
No, I didn't talk to them pre-game about it. Certainly, right. We acknowledged the post, and, yeah, it was really truthful. People ask for the truth and they don't like it. It wasn't an excuse. We got better. Tactically, we played, you know, containment defence. They composed the ball and shifted it anywhere they like. It was embarrassing, 135 marks. So we own that, and we planted that seed. But in saying that, we've done the analysis of the draw. I don't make flippant statements. We're the only team in the first 6 weeks that have played off two five-day preps, off a travel 6 days into five. The only team. So... And we travelled 3 out of 4 weeks. So I'm not flipping about it.
Yeah.
I'm not flipping. We don't...
And you're travelling again, obviously,
which is
tonight.
Fine. Yeah, so look, we handled our first one off round one, no problem. But then when you look at the accumulative load, and the facts are we had 7 players 21 and under, and there's a lot of noise around Gold Coast playing their kids and West Coast. We're the only other... They're the only other team, two teams like that, and... North Melbourne have 4. So, I mean, we dive into the facts, we understand it, but it was no excuse for our performance. And we got beaten fair and square. What was it, a mitigating factor for some energy you know, we can dive into numbers, high-speed sprint. We have players like Owens and Battle that punch out like 300 of VSHR, and they had 80 metres. Now, I don't know, is that their attitude shifting or the physical capability? So it's not an excuse, but next time I just keep my gob shut and then we go, he's boring.
No, we don't do that. And I wasn't asking it in that regard.
You're fine. But yeah. And I hear the clips. Yeah. They make excuses and all that. But you know what? I've been through the mill.
Yeah.
Sometimes. But it was really, sometimes you've got to advocate for your club.
Yep.
Sometimes you've got to advocate for your club.
No, I think the context you've given tonight is made it really clear.
As our old mate Chris Judd would say, you can't argue with the data, Ross. The data is the data, and I think you're presenting the data as it is. I love, there's always a bit of language around, Ross, that I learn. Flat defence, can you explain that? And
come on, mate, you shouldn't be commentating if they've explained that one. No, look, they come up high. They're hard one, you know, when they go into the 450, so... You know, everyone talks about shape, and what's their shape when it's locked in? They'll virtually be every 18 player. It's a forward flood, right? So centre forward and flat, manned up. They've got no depth on the defence. So if you break that last line, you're through. So, but it's easier said than done. But Collingwood, who are a great search team, they struggled in the first 20 minutes, but in the end, they eked their way through. But that's why the clearance... You know, and their high backs trade in a lot to the contest and get over and outnumber. But if you can win that, your high forwards often have a bit of a look heading back in, which, you know, you saw with Collingwood's high transition forwards. I think they all played really well. But again, like Farrell and Houston, those guys are really good. But, you know, we think it'll be won and lost in the midfield again. So we know we're building out there. And we're going to rotate a few through there. You know, we want to get Sinclair through at one point and a couple of others. So... We know we've got a big task, but we're really clear. We've got a strong strategy. But look, we really, and I love that you brought it up. It's really, we need to be able to tick off intensity and, you know, pressure points. And, you know, if you get north of 180 and you can sustain that, you're going to be in lots of games of footy. And I spoke to my players, when you're sitting there on Friday night and you flick on the TV and then you go to flick it off and you see a team really going, it sort of engages you and brings you back that intensity. So... Hopefully, you know, on the Friday night, we failed on the big stage last week, but we get another opportunity. We're really looking for that intensity.
Hey, Ross, last question. We appreciate your time. I love Rowan Marshall, and I think underrated still in my mind around the competition, but an opportunity tonight. They haven't got that depth. Can you ask more of him tonight? Do you feel like you can get an advantage there?
Yeah, he had one. He was a damn one last week, and English had been under a lot of pressure and really delivered. He was incredible. I think he had some like 15 clearances against GWS. So Sweet comes in. He'll be dog hungry. But if he can get to work and also get forward, we like it when he gets forward and challenges forward and gives us a bit of a height forward with Max out. So, we'd love a big game from him. He plays with a big heart. He's huge heart. He gives everything. I never knew anything about him, but, you know, are you allowed to have favourites? I know if you are, he's one of them. So, yeah, we're looking for a big one from him.
Rossi, as we let you go, do you miss the days when you come in on a Sunday and Duck would tell stories and then you'd have a pie and some chocolate at halftime and make comments and take your paycheck and go home with no stress? Do you miss that, big Rossi?
Yeah, I pine for it. I pine for it. You know, the occasional leader Powerade to get you through the day. And, yeah, I miss Brownie's sort of comments and the quiz. My ineptness at the quiz, but, you know, those days may return one day, we'll see. But, they gave me an insight and they obviously helped me in my job now, so I really enjoyed it.
Rossi, I did tell you to buy Fetch at 9 cents.
Oh,
now,
oh,
did you buy Fetch at 9 cents?
No, what are they, Brownie?
It's up to about 250 now, Ross. They've got as high as $3.
You're not one of those blokes just tells us about all your winners.
Yeah, correct.
Appreciate it, Ross. Always lovely to speak to you. Good luck tonight.
Thank you. Thanks, Howie.
And the coach of the St Kilda Football Club, Ross Lyon, who is a star. Now,
he's expansive.
Yeah, he is expansive.
Always expansive.
Long. Nate, did you know what a flat defence was?
No, not really. No.
He felt you should have known, though, Dust.
He did.
Yeah.
He's above our pay grade, Duke.
I love him.
I think he makes it up.
Invents and
I think
language.
That's his term for it. Maybe Collingwood Geelong have a different term.
The players going at 80 VSHR. What the hell was that?
That was another one I wanted to ask him about.
I thought it was something to do with heart rate, but I wasn't too sure. And Nick Quinn.
What do you reckon you used to go at, Chief?
Two.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Now it's time for...
He's a self-proclaimed footy superstar.
I reckon I was probably the most influential player in the AFL.
He fears nothing and no one.
This is all off-air stuff that you're not allowed to talk about on air, but I've gone with it anyway. Yeah.
And he sees the world a little differently.
Just watching a Komodo dragon eat a monkey.
This is Nathan Brown's Top 5.
Got this idea last night, so after the game yesterday, and I'm going to pump you up again here, Howie, but the call of Howie's mark, or not Howie's mark, but his call of the Jamie Elliott mark was very, very clean, and you might notice...
Which he's brilliant at, he's never taken one of those marks.
Oh, again, he's doubled down.
Give some context.
He has doubled down.
He's brilliant at his profession, but he's never done that.
Never done anything, Chiefy, is what he said.
In life, apparently, too.
Wow. But everybody around him was quiet to allow him to do the job, and it's just Howie's voice, and we'll listen to it.
To Goey. Sends it to the pocket. Bobby Hill will stay down. Elliott! Oh, massive hanger, Jamie Elliott! You'll see that all around the world. That's a CNN. Play of the day star, Mark. He flew on Mackay. He hung and he hung. And there's your mark of the year right there. Just give it to him, Jamie Elliott. Unbelievable grab.
All right, that was brilliant. That was brilliant.
Outstanding.
And well done.
Thank
you. Has Duke ever called one like that?
Well, we'll find it. He's got one here. So I've gone back and I thought, okay, let's listen to the Triple M calls of some of the greatest marks of all time. So I said to our man, Matty Haywood, let's go back a decade and do the top marks on Triple M and how we called them. And the thing that I couldn't understand, the amount of people that talk over the top of the caller is extraordinary. Now, Chief, you're a recidivist in this area because you do marks and goals quite evenly.
Jordan Dawson.
It's coming back!
That wasn't a mark, dickhead.
Hey, Chief, the language, come on.
And if he's going to start going there, I'm going to knuckle him.
And our old mate Spud was he was pretty good.
He was. So I'll give you an honourable mention here because Jack Riewoldt took mark of the year a few years ago. And our boss, who asked me to include him in this, he called the mark, but unfortunately, Luffy sort of started talking over the top of him. So here's the great Ewan Giles.
Graham's got it now for the Tigers. Gets onto the right boot, just hacks a kick inside 50, running back with a final play. What a mark by Riewoldt. That is unbelievable. Running back with the flight of the play. The pressure was coming from Chol, and he has taken an amazingly courageous mark.
How is he getting up from that? He has taken a Nick Riewoldt, his cousin-esque mark, running back into a pack.
Luffy couldn't have butchered that.
Cousin-esque? Can I just say one thing?
He's still there.
It's good air man, Giles. He's very good at the management role.
Stick to the off-air stuff, Giles.
I thought it was a good call. That's why I put good it calls. In, Howie.
Sounded like a chess mark from the call.
So Isaac Heaney's the next one. And before we listen to the Isaac Heaney one, Roosey worked here, and he had beautiful timing as a footballer, Roosie. Beautiful timing as a coach, and then he left. He had beautiful timing to come in, get that $1.7 million a year to do bugger all at Melbourne. But listen to the timing that he thought was an opportune time for him to speak with Isaac Heaney's mark.
Off a step, chips the ball towards Hogan, sits up. That's mark of the year.
And there it is. That sums up the day. A shocking kick from Pedersen to a key forward.
That is.
And Isaac Heaney.
An unbelievable mark. He got a second takeoff, Roosey.
Absolute cracker.
Poor old Swatter.
That was a Sunday, wasn't it?
Okay, so.
That's good.
Now we come to Mad Jack Dore. And this is where Duke had his major moment. But unfortunately, someone to my right is coming back.
He thought. He over my moment, did he?
Well, he talked before the moment.
Someone had to capture it.
Here's Mad Jack Dore.
Five hit outs, Goldstein 12, and Goldstein Shout averages 40.
Mad Jack Dore! What a crack!
He just went straight up.
He's milking it.
Gee, have a look at this, Chief. That was superb. Took it at its highest point, Mad Jack. I just didn't see it coming.
All Duke could get out was Jewish.
Let's be really honest. If we relied on Duke's excitement then, the whole thing would have fallen. It would have taken us off air.
He just went straight up.
Stay in your lane, Howie.
Coming back.
Just stay in your lane, Chief.
You've had a nightmare there, Chief. You've had a shock.
You think that was bad? I don't think it was. Compared to Roosie.
I don't think it was. Well, Roosie's just horrible. Talking while the mark was being taken. Duke had to go over the top of you.
That often happens, Nate, when you're talking about something and play goes on. We don't stop every single time there's a kick. Do
it's just called timing and awareness.
Okay, no worries. Watch my timing tonight.
I love it when Chief takes it.
I've pumped up Howie, and I'm going to go back to another mark where Joe Danaher took Mark of the Year. I think it was about 8 years ago, and obviously Howie hasn't had the voice deep in a program to this stage.
Oh, no, I don't want to listen to this.
Stewart, who takes a strong mark. Really well done in front of Stevens. Dumps it inside 50 to land 25. Danaher! Oh, wow! Huge grab from Joey Danaher. Plays on the left boot. Big hook on the kick. I think it's home. It is a goal for the Bombers and one of the marks of the season from Joe Danaher.
Well done, Howie. Got the advice from you, got the excitement from you yesterday, so looking forward to it. Well done, Chief. You were part of that as well. That was it. That was the top five.
Chiefy, they talk about preparation equaling performance. Have you done anything different in your preparation pre-game tonight or not?
No, but I'm going to be awesome tonight.
I just want to play you one more bit of audio. You ready?
Okay.
Jordan Dawson in his first showdown has the game on his boot to cover himself in glory. It's coming back. He got there.
Didn't talk over anyone. Didn't talk over
poor
anyone.
At his moment.
We were in different states.
Come on.
Okay.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M. Rocks footy.
Welcome, wherever you're listening around Australia, around the world. You're listening to the Friday Huddle on the M's as we lead up to St Kilda taking on Port Adelaide. Time now to go once again back down to the boundary with the coach of Port Adelaide. He is alongside Rhett Bigland. Come in, Biggles!
Thanks very much, Howard. Great to see you, Ken. All the best tonight. Short week on the track. What was your key focus for the week?
Look, we spent a lot of time on obviously reviewing the Collingwood game, which was a really good start by us, but then a really disappointing, particularly second and third quarter, where we spent a lot of time around the contest and the way Collingwood were able to clear the initial contest area too easily for us, and we put ourselves under too much pressure.
Hey, Kenny, you come up against a Ross Lyon coach side that had a very un-Ross-like performance last week. Is it something you speak about with the team? You know they're going to come out and be competitive, or you just go about your business?
Well, I think we both face a very similar prospect of what's coming, and we both know that we had a really disappointing game. They had a disappointing game, and in this industry, you expect every team that comes off a poorer performance to certainly spark and spike a little bit, particularly at the start of games, and that's what we're hoping to do, and I'm sure that's what they're hoping to do. But we know that that usually will bring out the best in both teams. So I think that certainly the start of this game will be really hot, and I think we just need to be able to handle that pressure.
So 6 or 7 weeks in, Kenny, how are Port travelling? How do you rate the season so far, knowing what you're capable of?
It's interesting, Jace, because the season always creates doubt and also gives you those moments where you think you're going really well. But you can only look at where you sit currently, and for us currently, we're in a reasonable position. We'd like to be a little bit higher on the actual ladder, but we're in a pretty good position. We know that bar the Collingwood performance, we've played pretty consistently well, even against Melbourne when we got beat. I know people make a big deal about the sides that we haven't been able to beat above us, but we're getting closer and getting to a point where we think we've got those games in us. But the reality is we're going okay for at the end of round six so far.
Kenny, every player wants to play every game. You want to be there for 120 minutes of football. How does Charlie Dixon take it when you say, look, we might manage you this week just to take the load off?
Yeah, that's why I did it very, very early in the start of the season, so that it was much easier to have that conversation. And look, Charlie's really, he's really understanding of where he's at, and he knows that at his age and stage in football, managed well, we're hoping to get more football out of him than right now stopping. So I think the alternative for him is, this is the best way for him to get the best footy. And I think he's still been really valuable for us at moments in games. He hasn't had a game where he's gone you know, and kick five or six, but he's had moments in games that have been really important, e.g. the Fremantle game where he takes a massive mark for us and pretty much wins us the game. So he's had moments, and I think as long as we can keep him around when the season gets later, that will be great.
Ken, the benchmark that Connor Rozee has set for himself is almost through the roof. I raise that in the context of what happened last week. Have you had a week with him where you just needed to, I suppose, encourage him again and just talk him through what happened, how he was, on his standards, slightly down?
Yeah, tell a star that he's not a star. Is that what we mean?
Yeah. It's hard.
No, I don't think. I think it's unfair to you know, every player in this competition. I had a wise coach once say to me, Malcolm Blight once said, you're never going to play 22 great ones when we played 22.
Yeah.
But if you can have 20 really good games and have a couple that are off the mark, I reckon we can live with that season. Connor's had an outstanding start to the season. Even last week, the problem he has, he's got these such high standards, and we expect that from him. He expects it from himself. But, you know, he's been an amazing start to the season, and, you know, I'm pretty proud of the way he's gone about it, considering he's a young captain.
Seems like the Saints are keen on speed, and in particular leg speed, Kenny, with Hill and Wanganeen Millerer and Wilson, amongst others that have come into the team. Are you ready for that sort of matchup? How do you stop their run?
Yeah, well, the interesting part, Jace, is with them is that they have got that. And, you know, they've also got Riley Bonner, who we had Riley with us, and Dougal Howard. They've got a couple of our boys in their team from their boys, but they're also very good runners. So the challenge for us is to make sure we've got pressure on every ball and not necessarily just a individual, but on every ball. If we can get pressure on the ball, cause the turnovers, I think we can get them, you know, if we can get them into a turnover game, that will suit us a little bit. But the reality is we've just got to be aware of all their weapons. And not only have they got those running weapons, they've actually got some other ones everywhere else over the ground.
Great to hear Ken Hinckley's voice of coach report. Adelaide, Kenny, you've been doing this successfully for a long, long time now and consistently good. What do you like now heading into the first bounce? Do you still have that adrenaline rush, or are you calmer than you used to be?
No, I think that's why you're still doing it. I think that's the reality, is you still do have that adrenaline rush, and you still do have the anxiety of pre-game, and you want to see the start of the game. You want to make sure we're playing okay, and you still want to be you want to be at the end of the game. You want to be winning, and if you didn't have those feelings and those thoughts, it would be time for me not to be doing it. And I think the reality is, I still love my approach to tonight is I still love the start of the day. I still love getting ready for the day, and then I get to the game and it feels like this is home, this is where we should be. This is really uncomfortable, but I like it feeling like this, and I'm a bit crazy. I think we're all a bit crazy as coaches. We get to this moment in the day and it sort of gets the tingles going, and you're ready to go and do what you can do.
Ken, Mark Howard here. When you jump on the plane and you study the form on the way over here, you, as a commentator, you turn up, you think, right, who's going to be exciting? And I fall at one name, and that is Willie Rioli. What type of character is he away from the footy ground? Because you come today and this is a man you want to see play football.
Yeah, he's a special player, Willie. It's not very many people ask me about Willie. We've got some really good players in the team, but Willie's one of those players. If he's on, we're in pretty good shape. And, you know, I think that's the key. He is a player who has big times in games, and, you know, he can turn a game. He's got a great amount of aggression for a little fella as well, and he's got real talent. So I'd like to think that if Willie's at his best, we're under control, and he's probably kicking two or three and setting up three or four others for other people. He's such a creative player, and we really loved having him at our club now for the last year and a little bit. So hopefully he has a big night.
Want to pick your brain, Kenny. What are you seeing 7 weeks into the season? How have you analysed what's happened thus far in 2024?
It's a really close season, Jace. That's what I see. And I go, you know what? You know, you've only got to look at a couple of games that we've had just close together. We played Essendon, beaten them well. We've played Collingwood, got beaten well. They both play a draw. I think that's a great description of what this season is. Don't judge any game on the last week's game. Judge every game on that game. And by the end of the season, it's going to be incredibly tight. And whatever happens, it's you're going to have to be damn good to win this competition.
Good on you, Ken. We appreciate your time. Give Willie a pump up from the Triple M box. And free Willie. Let him loose tonight. Have a good night.
I'll do my best for you, Howie.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Live here from the Adelaide Oval, Mark Howard with you. Nate Brown, the Chief, Jason Dunstall, Damien Barrett, Luke Darcy. It is time for...
It's coming back!
Howie's Hot Topics.
That was good by Leroy. We can start the hot topics, but Darcy's not actually in the room at the moment. Like, fair dinkum.
What's happened
Where's
to him, Harry?
I think we have a chat, Nate. You've known him for the longest. He's just floating around the edge of life at the moment.
As I'm Nate not said, sure he went what, rogue. He's gone rogue.
I'm not sure what gear he's on, but it's just, I don't know. It's extraordinary.
What do you think, Chief?
You mean gear he's in, I think, Brownie.
Can you put Minecraft down for a moment and join us, Chiefy?
I'm ready to go, Howie.
Right,
hey. Ready to go.
Here he comes. You're missing
time. Dust, we're on, mate. We're actually back on.
We're actually on air. Yeah. Right, hot topics. We'll start with you, Chiefy. Jamie Elliott yesterday, an incredible mark. And it got me thinking, Chief, not the best mark that's ever been taken, the best mark you have seen live, Chiefy, whether you're playing or commentating, when you're at the ground and you have seen a mark. What's the best?
Best mark I saw live was one that none of you would have seen, I suspect.
Oh, talk us through it.
It was a state game in Tassie, and it was taken by one of the Phoebe brothers. I can't remember if it was Stephen or Matty.
You were playing?
He was playing for Tassie. I was playing for Queensland, and he just took this incredible mark.
Would there be vision, Chief?
I don't think so.
Right.
I haven't seen it again.
Okay.
But it was, he went up.
How high?
Turned around. He was on the bloke's head, but twisted around in the air. Spectacular, mark.
Right. Nate?
I was about 10 metres away playing in the game where Gary Moorcroft took that mark over Brett Johnson. Yeah, it was extraordinary. So the double lifter, and that's as high as I've seen anybody get. He wasn't a big man either, but just a step ladder on Jono.
I noticed in the paper he's still playing football. He's playing at age 49. Was there anything said, Nate, on the ground? Like, it was blokes on the ground saying that was incredible or good on you, Gazza?
Not that
or...
I can remember. I remember
just make something up.
Lloydie, because he was on the ground hurt, and Lloydie was hanging around for the free kick. He had gone off.
What about you, Dust?
I was going to recall that. He got to heights in that. It was like a second lift, and then felt like a 2-second delay before he came down. That was
you weren't there too, Dust?
On that night, Damo. And the strange part was, Brad Johnson was playing fullback on him at the time, which might have been the only 5 minutes in his life he ever played in defence. That was a great mark. You know, he took ripping hangers, and there's two or three underrated. Our old teammate Brett Montgomery could take a serious hanger. He had two or three of the best I've ever seen at training or in an intra-club practice game and on game day as well.
Mine, Howie, 2007 semi-final, North Melbourne v Hawthorn. Aaron Edwards at the City End, the big full forward / centre-half forward in that period of time.
Edwards.
Good player. Yeah, I still reckon it's as good a mark as has been taken at the MCG. And it wasn't able to be included amongst the marks of the year because they'd shut it off at the home and away season. But I still reckon it's right up there with Elliott's even yesterday.
Chief, you're an official legend, soon to be, of the Australian Hall of Fame and 10,000 goals. Do you ever take a big hanger?
Nothing of that note. Nothing like the best that we've seen. I mean, for consistency, I'd go Tony Modra. But, not many people took the marks that he took.
He took some ridiculous marks, didn't he?
Jamie Elliott got me thinking. I sat on the boundary for Channel 10 when Andrew Walker.
Yep, that was a good mark.
Huge grab, I reckon.
That was an amazing mark.
He had the double lift there too, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Did he have his head taped
over Carlisle as well? Yeah.
And Sampy took a similar elevated one. Yep.
Now, you touched on the draw. We just go around the box, draw. Yes, no. And if you're a no to the draw, what is your solution? Start with you, Nate.
I'm a no. And I think that yesterday would have been the perfect time. So five players, 40 metres out, directly in front, and you have shots at goal. Until, like soccer, you get a winner. I think the atmosphere and the theatrics of that and the pressure, I think that'd be great.
I brought that up on Fox last night. Didn't get a great deal of love from Chief or Jack, but that's from an entertainment perspective, easy for me to say. That's sort of what I'm on. Chiefy, what about you? Are you more of a traditionalist, or what do you want to see?
We've got rid of it in the finals, which solves the problem. I'm all for it in the home and away.
Are you happy with the draw?
If both teams walk away feeling stiff, suck it up.
So I reckon I've changed my stance more towards Chief, where I think you play for that long a game. It's not like a soccer match where a penalty shootout is something that happens every other game. I think it's a unique part of our game, and you walk away with 2 points. It happens so rarely. If you get one a year, it's an outlier. So I'm comfortable with it in the home and away.
I just feel it's a result world, Howie. As I said before, I'm not massive on it. I don't waste a lot of time thinking about it. But you asked the question. I'd rather there be a result. I'd rather be extra time. I don't
extra
like
time.
The concept of a
goal or extra time.
Extra time, and then if you then need to sort it out, if it's again square at that point, maybe you bring in the the penalty shootout style of decision making. But no, I don't like the draw.
So how would you feel if you were sitting in the eight and then you got knocked out by a team because five blokes kick straight at the end of the game?
No, I don't like the penalty shootout, Chief. No, I like the extra time. And if it's still a level score at the end of the extra time, you might have to then work out a way to determine it. But extra time for me.
We are in the entertainment business. Can you just picture yesterday, 95,000, and Nick Dacos lines up from 40, and he kicks the goal, and then Kyle Langford does until someone unfortunately misses.
Yeah, that'd be on. Yeah.
Last night you're in Canberra. We're at the MCG. We're at the Adelaide Oval tonight. You're off to Perth tomorrow. The AFL plays in some amazing venues. We'll start with you, Das. What is the best AFL venue in the country?
And not because we're just sitting here now, Howie, but I think this is it for me. I think I love the tradition and the combination they've got. This has changed the whole city, this stadium, Adelaide Oval. It's brought a modern aspect to the place that wasn't there. But I love they've still got the traditional at the end. You've got the old scoreboard, standing room, beautiful stand on this side.
Trees.
It's got everything, the Adelaide Oval. I think there's something special about it.
Yeah, I'm with Das. And if it's not this venue at Adelaide Oval, to me, it's the Optus Stadium in Perth. I think these two venues have got the MCG covered by some way.
I'm here as well. I love it here. Chiefy?
Waverley for me. It had the beautiful, beautiful open expanses, pure grass. You could get rain, hail, sun in the one afternoon. Nothing better.
And the best showers.
And the best showers ever.
The best showers.
Extraordinary.
Great showers.
The circumference of the shower head, the size of a pumpkin.
Was it?
And it was like sitting under a waterfall, Howie. It was a treat.
I think this is the best footy ground. I think it's actually the best cricket ground in Australia and potentially the world. The test match here is incredible. Last one for you. We're here in Adelaide. Favourite thing about Adelaide, Nate?
I like Gauchos and all the gangsters down there. Every time I come here, the best steak I have had, and I know there's some really good steak places that you like in Melbourne, Chief, but that steak that we had the other night, I thought that I haven't had any better.
Das, favourite thing about Adelaide as a local man?
Well, I've fallen back in love with my own home state, Howie, thanks to Gather Round and spending a bit more time back here. And as a kid, I didn't appreciate the Barossa Valley or the McLaren Vale, but you're 40 minutes either way to two of the best wine regions in the world. I went to school with a lot of winemakers. It's a magic place. The city's beautiful, but you're close to some rural parts of South Australia that are magnificent.
I'm going down the wine path too, Howie. Even without falling in love with this city as I have over the times I've come here now for sporting reasons and journalistic reasons. But, yeah, the wines are unbeatable.
Chiefy?
The airport for me. Nearly choked on that one. Gather round. I've never spent much time in Adelaide, but Gather Round's brought this exposure about a place that there's great people. The bars and restaurants are fantastic. I actually enjoy the place.
You had some people in your high school that were making wine back then.
Their family went to boarding school with some families.
In an Adelaide secret, you might be across this one, Das. Just across the bridge, near where we stay in the hotel, there's an Italian restaurant called Parliament.
Yeah, another one you mean.
Now, they do a veal ragu there that I am prepared to declare the best veal ragu on the planet.
You're someone that eats sparingly, so that's high praise. So the name of the place again?
Parliament.
It's a really good joint.
Outstanding joint.
The Triple M Footy Friday Huddle for the TAC. Don't take risks while driving. Chances are you'll be caught. A message from the TAC.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.